Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Good to see you. Today is August 22nd, 2021. It is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. We're all very glad to be together, gathered together to worship the Lord. I want to begin our service with a few announcements. And I know Tammy Jewell has some announcements. I'd like to invite her up with a special announcement.
Good morning. I have a couple of pamphlets, brochures for anybody that's interested in information on retreats for the school year at Inspiration Point Bible Camp. There's all kinds of retreats for all ages, families and middle school kids, high school kids, young adults, men's retreats, women's quilt and scrap kind of retreats, but there's a little bit of everything for anybody, and so if you're interested in getting some more information, just let me know.
Thank you, Tammy. Well, a very warm welcome to all our visitors here today. You might notice we have some of the Stavanger softball team in the house. Yeah. We're going to do a Stavanger softball team recognition and fellowship meal after the service. So stick around for the recognition and fellowship meal. We'll be doing that inside. It's a little warmer after the service, so stick around for that. We just wrapped up VBS this past week. It was a great time with the kids. You might see some of the kids here this week, and we'll be singing some songs today. Some other announcements. We have the Board of Christian Education meeting on Tuesday, 7 p.m. If you're in the Board of Christian Ed, mark your calendar. It is this Tuesday, 7 p.m. We have our weekly Bible study, the Shady Oak Bible Study. That's every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at Shady Oak. If you'd like more information about this Bible study, just contact me. You can see me here or contact me. My number's on the back of the bulletin. Coming up, we have a deacon board meeting on September 2nd. The deacon board meeting will be September 2nd, 7 p.m. Also, a church board meeting September 7th at 7 p.m. And we're looking forward to kickoff Sunday. Kickoff Sunday, September 12th of this year. If there's any other announcements. Okay. On kickoff Sunday, that's when Sunday school will officially start. So we're getting all the new schedule. 9:30 is start time for Sunday school, 10:30 for church service. That's beginning September 12th. Okay. Well, let us begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. God. Stavanger Church, it's time to worship the Lord in song. I'd like to invite up our praise team today.
Please sing with us. Come, now is the time to worship. The words are in your bulletin. Singing with us, why worry when you can pray?
In prayer. rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? Why worry, when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry?
Jesus, strong and kind.
Now confess our sins together. You'll find the words in your bulletin. I will read the words under the heading Pastor. You please read the words under the heading Congregation. Stavanger Church, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us. and has given his only son to die for us. And for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us now confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read aloud along with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Time to pray. Do we have any special prayer requests from the congregation? Let's pray. Oh God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we call upon you, Lord. We know that you hear us. As we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we put our requests before you. We give our thanks to you. We want to offer a special thanks for the rain. For the rain that came, we thank you. And we ask for more and in good measure. Lord, we want to pray for our community. Through all these crises, through all the burdens we've borne, we put our trust in you, Lord. We turn to you, Lord, once again. You are our rock, our redeemer, our strength. In you we put our trust. Lord, we want to pray for the situation in Afghanistan. Lord, have mercy. We pray for those who are trapped there, for the Christian aid workers who are stuck, for the situation that we know little of, but you know full well, God. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we offer up a praise and a petition for Sarah's sister, Britta, who was released from the hospital. We rejoice in that, and we pray and ask for continued healing. In your name we trust, Lord. And Lord, as we're before you, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. So we pray in the manner that you taught your disciples. Please pray along with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The VBS kids?
The VBS kids.
Kids who want to sing with us? Come on up. We're going to figure this out here somehow. Okay, we just are going to give you a taste of some of the songs we sang. Our theme was Jesus, Light of the World. So they'll be singing some songs and also quoting one of their Bible verses. And I hope you can hear us okay. Let's, kids, we're starting with This is the Day. Let's sing it through once and then we'll have the grown-ups sing with us, okay? Kids and sing out. Okay, and then now the adults, you're gonna, congregation will answer us. We're gonna sing it once and then you repeat back, okay? Okay, kids, let's see if they can be louder than you, okay? Here we go. This is the day. This ready? There's some kind of, got to kind of watch Michaela with all the actions. Remember, if you can do the clapping. If not, just make sure you sing out, okay? Light of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. You ready? Bible verse? Can you do your Bible verse? Ready? John
8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Good job. Okay, King of Kings, and let's sing it through three times, all right? Start off really slow, okay?
Great, kids. Thank you for singing. I got something here. Set up here so everyone can see. You guys know what this is, right?
Play-Doh!
Yeah. What do you do with Play-Doh?
Play with it.
You play with it, of course. And how do you play with it? What do you... Huh? You make stuff?
You make stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You make stuff. What kind of things do you make with Play-Doh?
An elephant.
An elephant? Yeah, okay. I'll stick some right up here. We can all see that Play-Doh. So, the idea is we make stuff with Play-Doh, right? Yeah, great. Have you ever seen... Play-Doh make something by itself?
No.
No? Well, I think this Play-Doh's really smart. I think this Play-Doh's going to be able to teach us something and give us a lesson here. So let's just have Professor Play-Doh come right up to the podium. And now listen up really, really good here because he's going to teach you. What's wrong? Did you get the lesson? Professor, no? Well, can't Professor Play-Doh teach you something? No? Listen up. Huh? Oh, that's kind of silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Play-Doh can't talk. Can't see, right?
No.
No, can't hear. Can't think. It's just Play-Doh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the one who can see and talk and hear and think and make stuff with your hands. And that's how it works with Play-Doh. You make stuff with Play-Doh. Well, we're going to learn in the Bible today that sometimes people get confused about who they are and who God is. God's the one who made us. Can we make God? No, that's not how it works. God makes us. But sometimes us people get that wrong. So you can listen up today in the sermon and hear more about that. So thanks for coming up here and helping me with Professor Plato. All right? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for letting us be outside. We thank you for the wind, even though it's a bit inconvenient for us at the moment. We do thank you for the blue sky, for the relief from the heat, for the rain, and for the gift of fellowship and the opportunity to gather here for health and strength and all these blessings. Most of all, the blessing of Jesus. We pray that his name and his work for us as Savior and Lord would be clearly heard and received today. So, Lord, asks that you'd guide my lips and open our ears and hearts. To the glory of your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, you want to follow along. Our passage from today is from the book of Isaiah. It's in the Old Testament. It's a big book in the Old Testament, 66 chapters. It's from Isaiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 19. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 19. Invite you as you're able, if you're not worried about your chair blowing away, to stand for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 29, verses 11 through 19, I read in Jesus' name. For you this whole vision is nothing but words sealed on a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, "Read this, please," he will answer, "I can't. It is sealed." Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, "Read this, please," he'll say, "I don't know how to read." The Lord says, "These people come nearer to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say of the potter, 'He knows nothing'? In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words on the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." This is God's word. You may be seated. These words were written some 2,700 years ago. That's a long time. 2,700 years ago, and yet they are the word of God, the eternal God. And they speak to us today. But to get an idea of how they speak to us, it's good to have an idea of what's going on here in this time in Israel's history, God's chosen people. It's at a time when, after they had been delivered out of Egypt through the Exodus, and Moses wandered through the wilderness and brought into the promised land, a land that God had given them, a place to prosper and be blessed. And then as time went on, they kind of drifted away. They got comfortable. They forgot all that God had done for them, and they really started turning their backs on God and just sort of fitting in with the cultures around them with all their false gods. And God sent the prophets to them to warn them, turn back to me and live. You follow these false gods, it's the way of death. It's your undoing. But they were human beings like us, and they had a problem. In one word, it's pride. Now, this word pride, it can be used differently. You can be proud of your kids. You can enjoy their accomplishments. We're not talking about that kind of pride. We're talking about the kind of pride that sets itself up over God as if we don't need God. The prophet Isaiah was calling people out for their pride. He was preaching to the northern kingdom. It was a time when, because the people had abandoned the Lord, their leadership had abandoned the Lord, the kingdom was split into two divisions, the north and the south, and things in the north were getting really bad. God sent prophets to them, and he also sent prophets to the southern kingdom. And Isaiah was one of those to the southern kingdom. It was a time when foreign powers were threatening the northern kingdom and eventually hauled them off into captivity in Assyria. And they're even threatening the southern kingdom. And in the midst of that, because the people had turned a deaf ear to God again and again, he just finally said, you know what? You're not even going to be able to understand my word now for a time. You're just going to have to learn the hard way. As if his words were sealed up and couldn't be opened or unintelligible to be read. And that's where we are when it comes to Isaiah 29, 11 through 19. We find out that there's this kind of pride, this human condition shows up in different ways. If we look at verse 13, wow. We look in verse 13, I'm going to call this pretend piety. It's like make-believe religion. He says, the people come to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These are good church-going folks. They show up on Sunday. They go through the motions. They sing the songs. They smile the smiles. But it says their worship is just human rules. The heart has been taken out of it. And it's something that happens. It's something that happens in church a lot, that tradition just soon kind of takes over God's word. Why do we do that? I don't know. Well, it's because we've always done it that way. And we get away from the scriptures, God's word, the Bible, and we just go through the motions. We put on a good show, but it's lacking in love for God or for our neighbor. This is an easy one for pastors to do. I have been there and I have done this. And really, it's all about me. It considers me good enough. Just put on a good image on the outside. Jesus came after folks who were stuck on this. He said, you honor me with their lips. He quotes Isaiah, but your hearts are far from me. It's the Pharisees of his day, they were all about show and tell about how good and how religious they were. That's the pretend piety kind of pride. But that's not all that we have in this passage. You look in verse 15, there's another type that shows up. It says, woe to those who go to great depths. Woe. This is the kind of word that you'd use at a funeral of lamenting, of grieving, of great sorrow. This Isaiah is saying, this is grievous. These folks are in a bad way who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees? Who will know? This is pretending that God doesn't know, that God can't see, that God is blind, that God is stupid, and doesn't know what we're pulling behind his back. It's the peekaboo pride. It's like a little kid. The psychologists talk about this thing called object permanence. It's a stage of development where a child understands that even if they can't see you when you pop your head down behind the chair or couch, that you're still there. It's the game, what peekaboo teaches kids, that teaches them object permanence, that when you go, peekaboo, you're there all along. This peekaboo pride just pretends that because we can't like see God with our physical eyes, that he's not there, and we can kind of sneak around and do stuff behind his back and get by with it. It's the kind of drop in IQ human beings received when Adam and Eve, first in the Garden of Eden, decided to go their way instead of God's way. And when they realized they had blown it, they thought, well, let's make clothes out of fig leaves and hide in the bushes and pretend that God can't find us. How well did that work? Not very. Peekaboo pride. It tries to put our ignorance, our blindness, our deafness, our inability to understand, it tries to project that onto God and say that's what God's like. It's like us regarding God as Professor Plato, when the reality is just the opposite. There he went. Professor Plato's downfall. And finally, there's another type of pride that we are introduced to in this passage. I call it the pompous pagan pride. It's just the flat out, in your face, telling God that he is not God and that you are. It's this flipping upside down of reality where the creature says he's actually the creator. It's this bold-faced assumption of God's position in the universe. Professor Plato telling God what's up. It turns reality upside down and it denies the creator. Pride, whether it's the churchy put on a nice show pride, whether it's the trying to hide from God, pretending you can see when you're actually blind, like sometimes we accuse an umpire of when the ball comes across the plate, they can't see. Right, guys? Or the pompous pagan pride where we just get in God's face and say that that's my job, not yours. It was like that for Isaiah and the people of Israel and Judah 2,700 years ago, but is it any different today? Are we any better? Have we evolved to the point where we humbly accept our place as God's creatures, as people who are blind, who need sight, as people who are deaf, who need to hear, as people who have no understanding, that need to get real wisdom? There's all kinds of bad news in here. Just like there's all kinds of bad news when you look on your news app or turn on the TV or radio. But there's also good news here. There's good news because God understands our plight. And he was not satisfied to leave us in our predicament of pride, unable to rescue ourselves any more than Professor Plato could make something out of himself. No, God did something remarkable here. For the pretenders whose hearts are far away, he gives a new heart. The prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I will give them a new heart, one of flesh, not of stone, one that has love for God, that doesn't run and hide in hate and defiance. And the prophet Jeremiah says, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He'll make a new covenant with us. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they'll all know me from the greatest to the least, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. For the peekaboo pride, he gives eyes to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear. In Matthew 11, Jesus declares of himself, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. The good news that Isaiah refers to when he says in the end of this passage, once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You see, when we come to the end of our pride and realize we do need the Lord and that he has come to us in Jesus and receive him, there's good news. Even for the pompous pagan, the one you'd never see in God's house, the one who turns everything upside down saying he is God, he doesn't need God, there's hope and good news even for this person when he realizes that God did a turning upside down of his own. When the Creator became creation, when the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, when he who had no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For Jesus, who had no sin of his own, took on the sin of you and me, of the whole world. When he who is infinite, who created the world, became finite, became just like one of us, flesh and blood, and suffered and died on a cross, so that you and I can be set free from our condition of pride and the plight of Professor Plato. We can be raised up as his own and have rejoicing again. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe and receive our Creator and rejoice in him as his creation, a new creation, which Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let us pray. Father, wherever we are in our pride and our brokenness, our ignorance, our blindness, Lord, if we've been convicted today of these things, may we be comforted by the promise of the good news that whoever confesses their sins, you will forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness, and you will create a new heart in us. Help us, Lord, to hear from you in your word each day, that we might humbly walk before you in freedom and in joy with you as our Savior and Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.